timer on here so I don't go over my 10 minutes. So may the words of Scripture which we have just heard become beautiful melodies appropriate for each of you in each of your hearts. Amen. I hope you like sheep. This is Good Shepherd Sunday, and as you can tell, a lot of the readings have to do with sheep and the image of Christ as the Good Shepherd, and we are the sheep that he cares for. There are a lot of texts today that we Episcopalians, I think, will resonate with in a special way. At the very beginning of that reading from Acts, it says, "Those who had been baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers." And of course, when we renew our vows at baptism, that is precisely one of the things we are reminded of, and we promise to do precisely that, to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And those, of course, are in some ways very communal activities. Our Book of Common Prayer, that means the Book of Community Prayer, actually. So a lot of our prayers have to do with community, fellowship, building community, and we have been strongly emphasizing the whole idea of community throughout this prolonged Lent, but we're now in Easter time, but this time of the coronavirus, the COVID-19, and when we are shut down, locked out, separated, the natural desire is to seek community, to want to hang on to community, fellowship as much as possible. And we have been doing that and trying to do that over and over again. And there's been a kind, I think, of a resurgence in some ways of what we might call the deeper dimensions of community, the spiritual dimension, the interior dimension of community. We can be with people, you know, physically. We can be around them, surrounded by all sorts of people, and not really be one with them. We can feel very lonely in a crowd. So there's something that, you know, there's the depth of the human person, and the deep speaks to deep. So that's really true fellowship and true community, and not a kind of false or a very thin kind of community, but a real profound community comes from that interior depth of each of us, our hearts, you might say. Heart resonating with heart, heart speaking to heart. Some people use the community, the idea of community or being with other people. Some people, it's a natural tendency, I guess, use that as a way of avoiding reaching into the depths of their own heart. Avoiding really coming to know the depths of other people's hearts. We just get into a crowd and we chat and we talk and we do this, we do that, and so on. And we stay on a kind of thin surface. And again, we avoid the heart, the heart-to-heart encounter. Today, I thought I would emphasize a little bit with you the appropriateness at a time when we are searching so much for fellowship and community, feeling locked up as we are, the appropriateness of our stepping back a little bit from that and thinking about our own interior depths, the depths of our own being, and derivatively, in a way, the depths of the people around us and their own, the depths of their own being. And how we need sometimes to step apart from our frantic desire for being connected. We need sometimes to step apart from that and to open ourselves to the depths of our own being and there encounter the deep sources of who we are, of what we are about, and to try to be comfortable with that and to thank the Lord for that, and then to bring the gift of that real deep aspect of ourselves, the heart dimension of ourselves, to our back to our relationship with our husband or wife, our children, those we work with, the larger community, so that we can really, when we say we are in community with others, even virtual community like this, that it's real true community. It's heart speaking to heart. That's what I think we might want to devote ourselves to today a little bit. And to do that, I thought we might take a look at Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we're all familiar with it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Beautiful psalm. And of course, you know, it continues the shepherd theme that we're talking about here. It's a very famous psalm. It perhaps is the most popular psalm in the United States. Something that might surprise you, as it surprised me when I checked this out, Psalm 23 is never quoted in the New Testament. Never. There's lots of psalms that are quoted in the New Testament, but Psalm 23 is not. I find that kind of interesting, because the psalm is so popular in American history and American piety. And I was researching that a little bit. And I know, for example, when I make pastoral visits to people and I bring them communion, the psalm that they typically love to hear and recite before they receive communion is Psalm 23. Isn't that interesting that it's not in the New Testament, but it's so beloved? And I think it has something to do, so far as I could tell historically, with the trauma of the Civil War. And in the trauma of the Civil War, somehow Psalm 23 became something that was frequently talked about by ministers, priests, preachers, and people in general. And through the trauma of the Civil War and the leadership of Abraham Lincoln, the Psalm 23 gained a kind of power and a popularity. Doesn't really have this in almost any other culture, but in the United States it does. I think that's kind of fascinating, and that indicates to some extent, you know, we are kind of going through something, a trauma, similar to the Civil War in a way, in this COVID-19 business here. And so, again, that shows you the appropriateness of Psalm 23. I'm going to suggest, as a way of developing our deeper self, our deeper spirits, so that when we go out in community and fellowship, it's really authentic fellowship, our heart really meeting the hearts of others. I'm going to suggest to you that you take time out today, maybe this entire week, to recite over and over again Psalm 23. Psalm 23, just alone. You go off alone, you have it here, with different versions, but just go off alone and recite it to yourself. And as you recite it, it's the typical psalm. We use the term biblical parallelism. Each line parallels the other. So the Lord is my shepherd. The next line, I shall not be in want. If the Lord is our shepherd, can you imagine, if the Lord is our shepherd, really our shepherd, do we think that we would be in need of anything? If we have the Lord right with us, what would we be in need of? What more? So, the Lord is my shepherd, says one thing, I shall not be in want, is another way of saying the same thing. It kind of parallels what we just said, but it kind of adds a new little twist to it. And as you go down the whole psalm, that's what they're like. Each line says one thing, and then the next line seems to repeat it, but it doesn't really exactly repeat it. It kind of goes a little bit deeper. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his namesake. So he's reviving my soul. Well, one of the ways of reviving our soul, I guess, is to say, well, one way that happens is that the Lord guides me along the right pathways. So right now, as we feel our soul drooping, we want the Lord to revive our soul. Now, how is the Lord going to revive our soul? guiding us along right pathways, helping us to do the kinds of things that will really truly bring refreshment to us. Anyway, you can read the whole psalm like that, one line repeating the other, but adding a kind of new depth to it and so on. Some people have said that the psalms are like a massage, a spiritual massage. It seems like, you know, like a massage, somebody massages your body, and it's like the same thing over and over again, but each time it's a little deeper and a little more profound, gets into us a little bit more. So this particular Psalm 23, we could call it, I think, a psalm of trust. Psalm of trust. It's really basically saying, trust the Lord over and over and over again, like a spiritual massage. Over and over again, it's kind of like saying that, articulating that, and as we will say it over and over and over again, it's like a massage or like a psalm balm, B-A-L-M, psalm balm, and the oil, you know, that you use in a massage that's just penetrating us and revitalizing us and so on like that. Now, I want to add something to it, though. I don't want us to get too heady in this little exercise this week as we pray this psalm. I don't think it would be good for us to sit down and to try to analyze every single line of the psalm, get lost in our head. I don't think that would be very, very helpful. You've perhaps heard of the Buddhists, you know, and you know the Buddhists have these famous koans, Zen Buddhism especially. So there's like one famous Zen koan, which I'm aware of. Every day is a beautiful day. Nichi kore kujitsu, in my stumbling Japanese. Nichi kore kujitsu. Every day is a beautiful day. Now, and you say it over and over and over and over like a massage. You just get it into your spirit over and over again, the Buddhist would say. Now, the rational mind would say, well, you know, every day is not a beautiful day. You know, what if I get sick today? What if I have an accident today? What if we have terrible weather today? What if there's an earthquake today? What this, what that, and so on. You've got that rational mind which can come in there and start asking all of these questions. But the Buddhist is trying to say there's a deeper mind besides the rational mind. There's a time for the rational mind, but then there's also a time for this deeper mind. The psyche has various levels to it. So I would say, and so it's that deeper mind. Don't ask all these surface questions, which have their appropriateness at some times, but we want this deeper transcendental spiritual mind of peace to come forth and trust. Every day is a beautiful day. Psalm 23 is like that. Every day is a beautiful day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we can say, oh, come on. I mean, what do you mean I'm not going to want? I mean, I'll get hungry, I'll need food, maybe I'm poor, maybe I'm being abused. All sorts of things can come up and we can think about that. Now, that's the rational mind working and it has its appropriateness at certain times and so on like that. But there is a deeper mind, the mind of Jesus Christ. Have that mind within you which was in Jesus Christ, that though he was in the form of God, he did not deem equality with God, but emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. That mind of Christ, that's the deeper mind. That's the mind that is our fundamental heart that guides everything that we are. And if we can develop that mind, let that mind serve us. And this psalm can help you do that. Every day is a beautiful day. The mind of Christ. I know there's all these other problems, but still get quiet that chattering, quizzical, intellectual surface mind now. And still, shh. Let this other mind, the mind of Christ, come forward. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Feed that mind, let that mind surface. In the name of that mind, we are made. And that, I think, will help us to survive what we're going through now and give us a kind of serenity and peace and confidence and faith that we need, so that when we go from our 5 minutes of doing this or whatever every day, we can be renewed. And we can trust that, you know, we will find a way to cope with whatever comes our way, but we won't find it without this deeper mind: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, coming through.